those girls did a tremendous job, right? I see our groups singing, and we have a lot of young adults that like to sing, and this is where it starts right here, right? That what I want to see in 10 years is all of them up here singing again, and that'll be great. A couple things before we get into the Bible study. Friend Day is our biggest day of the year. And so let's make sure that we are ready. And I just want to reiterate a few things that we really need to do. We'll have plenty of space. We'll have every chair that we own will be out. It's always packed down here anyhow. And whatever we can fit upstairs, we're going to pull some of the folks out. We'll have overflow in the two rooms there. And so if we need the space, we will have plenty of space. But there's one area where we can never, ever, ever create more space, and that's parking, okay? And so, by the way, I'm not harping on it because there was a good amount parked at Blue Line this week. And so let's make sure that we're all over there parked in that area. Actually, if we start filling that up, which I fear that we're going to do that, I'll have to find some other parking, but I got some other spots I think we can find and do. But we're going to have a lot of visitors, and so we want to leave this for them. And as I mention often, and you don't understand, 33rd here and Magnolia, we also need to leave open, okay, for the new folks. And then we do have some folks, because of health issues or whatever, you can't park off-site, and I understand that. Just because you drive a nice car doesn't mean you can't park off-site, okay? Come on now. You'll be just fine. And then also, it's very important. And then everybody is a greeter this week, okay? So when you're running around, make sure you say hi to people. If you see new people coming in, they're going to have that look on their face, like, where do I go? Try to the best of your ability to help them find where they're going. Ask who invited them. If you know where that person is in their Sunday school class, help them get there. And that will be great as well. Of course, you want to be here early. Let's not be late, all right? If you have a ministry responsibility, you cannot, especially Sunday school teachers, this is not the week to show up late. We need you there early. We can take the kids there and the nursery and all of that. And you do that, but I just want to remind us that. then I will start contacting your friends. Send them a reminder on Saturday. Looking forward to seeing you. When you come, ask for me. Here's where you can meet me. And that would be great. And then, very important too, particularly for our ushers and our choir. By the way, the choir is very important. If I've not said this enough, the choir is very important to get the service off to a good start. And so let's be in our spots. And I know you are, but I know you got a lot going on in your Sunday school class. But make sure, and then also the ushers, come straight from your Sunday school classes, get in here, and be ready to help us seat people. And then. And then the choir be ready to get started and get the service off to a great, great start. And just help us out if you're a core member. Of course, that's most all of you here. You know, if you see that it's getting a little crowded or whatever, be willing to help us get seats and maybe set you upstairs or set you outside or whatever you got to do, okay? But the biggest thing is this, just pray. We can invite everybody in the world, and every Friend Day is different. And so all God asks us to do is our part. Our part is planting seed. Our part is inviting. Our part is following up, encouraging them to be here. But God's going to give the increase. So make sure we're praying about that. And I think it's going to be a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous Sunday. Thank you for all. I know we're probably over 1,000 contracts on the wall. So if just 20% of those come, that's a lot. Okay, so let's be ready. Okay, we're going to be back in Proverbs tonight. Proverbs, we have been talking for many, many weeks now. I believe this is lesson 25, about the wisdom of avoidance. We know Proverbs is the book of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to take God's principles and apply them to my everyday life. But what people don't like to hear as Christians is we don't like the part where, oh, this is, you know, what God wants me to do and all of that. But that's half the story. There's also things God doesn't want you to do. That's part of it. And so God talks in Proverbs, and you've seen several of them. We've hit 9 areas already. God wants us to avoid. We're going to look at another one tonight. For several weeks, we looked at sloppy parenting. Today we're going to look at what I'm calling stumbling principles. Stumbling principles. Did we get the handouts? I believe everybody has a handout. Okay. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27 is the jumping off verse. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. That is pretty point blank. We are to avoid, we'll use that word for now, hearing anything that would that would be against the truth and would cause us to stop following the truth. We're going to look at this from so many different angles. The Bible is full of verses about avoiding the wrong kind of influence and accepting the right kind of influence. I believe it was a couple weeks ago I talked about neglected separation. When we talk about separation, we typically only talk about what God wants us to separate from. But the reason God wants us to separate from things is that we can separate to the right things. So when it comes to influence, and I believe this is in your notes, we separate from bad influence to good influence. Okay? Everybody's going to have influence. What kind are we going to have? We have to choose to say no and back away from the wrong influence and accept into our life the right influence. So let's look at some of the bad here. First of all, bad influence comes in many forms. Let's look at a couple of them. First of all, bad examples. Bad examples. We just got done talking several weeks about parenting. Do you know, parents, you not only teach and train in all the things we've went through, but also you are setting the example in your family. Sometimes what parents think is that I will just, you know, say, hey, do this, and it doesn't matter what I'm doing, and that doesn't work very well. Amen. So often we may unknowingly say things that are instructing our children, and we don't even realize it. We say that bad word about somebody. We say, you know, we say something that's dishonest or whatever it is. Children hear that. And you may not be telling them to be dishonest. You may not be telling them to be critical of others, but what you're doing is your example is telling them to be dishonest. Your example is telling them to do the wrong thing. So we need to be very, very careful. Children are not just watching us, and that's a big part of the example, but part of watching you is hearing what you are saying. Now, also in bad examples, it is true. It is the people we hang around with. Look at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 24. The verses are there on your sheet. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul. Now, why does he pick particularly here, because there's a lot of people that the Bible talks about, we'll mention some others as we're going through this, that we need to be careful about a friendship with. Why does he mention furious and angry? Because those are people that have a serious lack of self-control. A person that is an angry person they're going to have problems in every area of their life because they can't control themselves. Now, if they get into the Bible and the Spirit of God develops fruit in their life, they can get over that. But from your end, you have to be very careful that we're not around them. Because you cannot help but become like those you hang around with. It's reality. It's what happens. Because you're not only going to see how they live, you hear what they say. And all of it is a package deal that is influencing your life. Here's a point. If you want to know what you are like, look at who your friends are. Okay? Look at who your friends are. Well, you know, they're a good person. They just naturally gravitate towards the wrong kind of people. That's kind of who they are. Okay? Look, I could take a youth group. You can take a youth group of 50, and in every group, you have a couple that are maybe struggling, right? and you take them to another church that has a youth group, and none of the kids know each other, and the kids that are struggling or the kids that are just flat out being deceitful and doing things, within 10 minutes, they'll find the other kids in the other youth group that are just like them. That's just how it is. Same thing with adults. You know, you start working somewhere, and there's a group of guys there. You'll usually find out, and you'll end up at the level with the people that are like who you're at. You may not want to believe that, but that's just the reality of it. Larry Brown, he has a famous sermon he preached. I think he preached it here years ago. Amnon had a friend. I'm not going to say it in his voice, but he says it over and over in the message and with his little tone. You are now, or soon will be, what your friends are. And that is the absolute truth. By the way, so I'm a new Christian, or I want to level up in my Christianity. Then level up in your friends. Right? Be around the people that are like, hey, that's the kind of person I want to be. That's the kind of person, they're doing the kind of things that I want to do. If I'm interested in ministry and serving the God, I'm typically going to end up clicking with those that are interested in ministry and they're serving God. And those that are interested in the truth, those that are interested in knowing the Bible. And so your friends, very important. Bad examples. Now, all these things I'm saying here, you can flip them and you should. So you would want to have someone that's a good example. So secondly, bad influence comes through bad examples. It comes through unspiritual lifestyles. Unspiritual lifestyles. This is allowing those who have a lower level of spiritual testimony to be the influence of us. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, now we command you, brethren. Now, some of these things are a little bit rough, but take note, I didn't write it, okay? And my goal is not to be mean-spirited. My goal is to help us. God said this, so you can go ahead and send him a text if you disagree. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which you receive from us. Now, I'm not talking a lot about unsaved friends, but we dealt with that a little bit in our other message. You read that where it says, come ye out from among them. But he's talking here about every brother that walketh disorderly. We are to withdraw ourselves. You know what withdraw means? Stop associating with them. You say, but by the way, and let me, I have to give the balance to this because I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here. I'm not talking about someone who's a new Christian and they're coming along or they just don't know. Remember the Bible we talked about? There's the wise man, the one that wants to find God's principles and live them. There's the foolish man who defies God's principles. And then you have the simple man. He doesn't know. The simple man could go either way. I'm not talking about someone that's simple, that's new to church or new to the faith and they don't know and you're trying to help them move on along. I'm not talking about that. I'm not even talking about someone who maybe is a Christian struggled in their life, right? And they're like, man, I want to get back on the right path. But I'm talking about someone who says they're a Christian and their lifestyle is completely opposite of it. The Bible tells us this. You're supposed to withdraw. Stop associating with them. You say, well, how are they going to come back to the Lord? They're not going to unless they decide that's what they want. And I'm not saying, you know, like, I can't hang out with them. I'm just, be careful. And encourage. If you want to encourage them to be with you at spiritual things and church services and things like that. If they're not willing to do that, then there's a problem there. But the Bible says we're supposed to stop associating. Like Proverbs tells us to cease from hearing. 2 Thessalonians says, withdraw from being around. You have to be very careful. I know I will not hear the wrong things if I stay away from the wrong people. And I'm going to tell you why that's why sometimes it's worse for you to be around a Christian. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. Don't be around them. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator. Well, pastor, I'm not going to be around that kind of person. Okay. Or covetous? Ouch. Or an idolater? You know, stuff in their life is way more important than God. You can tell, they'll miss church for those things. Or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. We're not supposed to keep company with them. And look what these last few words say. With such an one, no, not to eat. Well, pastor, they're paying. Okay. It's the least they can do. Don't eat with them. The worst people, and I'm going to say it, for Christians to be good friends with are Christians who are not living the Christian life. They are. He says, first of all, sometimes they're just not even saved. If any man that is called a brother. Now, Thessalonians says, withdraw yourselves from every brother. So there are some that are. You know why it's worse? Look, if I'm around an unsaved person, I expect them to act, think, talk, and live like an unsaved person. You know what they need from me? They just need Jesus. They need the gospel. Okay? That's what they need. Nothing will change until they get that. And those of us that got saved later in life, we know what it's like. Aren't we glad someone gave us the gospel? Okay? But when someone says they're a brother and does this nonsense, it's easier for us to buy into it and excuse what we're doing. You know, here's the phrase. Well, you know, why can't I do that? Because so-and-so's a Christian and they... Well, the last time I checked, the standard of truth was not other Christians. The standard of truth is the Word of God. And I don't care what a person says they believe if they don't live it or back it up in their life. That is why Christianity has such a horrible, horrible, horrible name in this country. Because there's too many people who say they are Christians, but they that's about the only thing that is remotely Christian about them is that they say they're Christians. God says, I want you to back that up. And so it's very, very bad for us to be around those who say they are, and yet their lifestyle is not good. That's why when someone starts to get away from God, maybe backslide a little bit, they'll try to lower themselves to people that are, say they're Christians, that are on their level, because it makes them feel good about each other. But I just want to follow what the Bible says. So let's be very, very, very careful about who we allow. And then the next one, it goes along with this, peer pressure. Peer pressure. Proverbs 13:20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So when we're around wise people, we can become wise. You know how that happens? Because the Bible says, first of all, but because we're seeing wise actions, right? You're a newer Christian, and if you were a newer Christian, you were hanging around a Christian, and you were in a situation, and you saw the Christian handle that situation with grace and dignity and with wisdom, and it's like, aha, that's how a Christian does it. Or you're just around them, and you hear them talk about the right kind of things. Talk, and you just get, well, what's important to this person are spiritual things. What's important to this person is God. What's important to this person is truth. And so you cannot help, if you're around those type of people, that rubbing off and you becoming wise like them, because that they're giving you the right kind of peer pressure. But too often, we bow to the wrong kind of peer pressure. Here's what he says about fools. He doesn't say a companion of fools shall be a fool. Now, I think that's inferred. If you go back to the verse, if you go with an angry man, you'll learn his ways. And I think if you're with a foolish man, you'll learn his ways as well. But what does he say? A companion of fools shall be destroyed, because you, by being with them, are going to partake of their foolishness. And even if you don't do it to the same degree that they do, you are still going to suffer the same consequences. Right. Just so you just stay away from it. You can't help but hang around somebody. There was people when I was growing up, I'd hang around with, and I was with them. I just knew if we were at certain places, and if it was that was a person, things were going to ratchet up. Okay? There was going to be problems. Some people just, problems followed them, and if it didn't follow them, they're the ones that were the problem. And so, don't be around them. Be very careful. But we have pressure from them to follow their ways. Look at Proverbs 1:10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. You know what that means? Just say no. Remember the illustration about the skit? Stop it. Right? They're trying to entice thee. Hey, do this or do that. It's funny how those that do wrong are always pushing others to do wrong as well, because it makes them feel good about what they're doing. You hang around with a group of people that are doing something, and you're like, well, I'm just hanging around them. I don't want to do that. They're going to pressure you to do it. Right? If you grew up like that, there's things you probably did that you didn't want to do, and it wasn't, but because you're with the group, there's a peer pressure to do those things. Be very careful. But the greater lesson is this, and understand this, when someone reveals to you who they are, that is when you make the decision as to whether they will be a part of your life. You understand that? You're hanging around with somebody, they seem like a decent person, and then something happens and you have a little spiritual discernment and you discern that's not who they are. They've just revealed who they really are. That's the time to make the decision is, that's not someone I want to be close friends with. That's not someone I want to allow to influence my life. I want to choose, and by the way, it'll happen on the other side. You'll see somebody, you'll see them go through something, it's like, They have something good going on. That's who I want to be around. That's how I want to be. But if we look at all this, the greatest damage is done by those who influence us by their words. That's how they do it. Their actions speak, I know that. But if you're around them and they have the wrong actions, they're going to have a mouth to match. With their mouth, they're going to pressure you. They'll argue about things that are wrong. Oh, you know, is that really wrong? Blah, 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 blah. That's not the type of thing you want to hear. Someone wants to debate everything, that's nonsense. Words. We've heard this before. Hitler's ideology was outlined in his book, Mein Kampf. That means Mind Struggles. He wrote that before he ended up taking over. His ideology from that book led to World War II. There's an estimated anywhere from 70 to 85 million deaths in World War II. He was the main protagonist to get the war started. That means there was about 100 people who died for every word in his book, because his words had meaning and he meant what he said. And he followed through on it. Words are important. They have consequences. This verse ought to encourage you or scare you. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now think about that. You can either add encouragement and life to somebody by the things you say, or death and destruction by the things you say. And by the way, you can't have this mentality. Well, I was mad and I just said what I want, but you know, I didn't really mean it. I was just mad. Your kids aren't going to get over that. You spoke too freely. Watch out. Parents sometimes are too cruel to the kids. You're just dumb. Can't you do anything right? Don't use the word always, right? You always. I'm thinking, do they always? I mean, 100% of the time? Here's another one you don't use. You never. Never? Ever? But we say damaging things like, well, you know, mijo, I was just mad. They still heard it. Okay? And kids will remember things you say. Be careful. Say the right things. Far too often we gravitate towards the words that are negative. The Bible says they bring death. You could have chosen to use words that are positive that the Bible says brings forth life. Thomas Edison, the famous inventor, when he was very young, he was once sent home with a note by his teacher. And the teacher didn't want him in class anymore. And they brought the note home, and his mom got the note and read it, and he was a young boy, he was there, and he's like, what does this mean? And his mom said, you know, well, she lied, but it's okay. She said, you know, the teacher just said, you're kind of too advanced or too smart for that class, so we have to find another way to educate you. When in fact, the teacher called him an addler, which meant that there was a mental issue there. He just can't learn, and she didn't want him in the class. One chose death, the other chose life. So be very careful what you say. There will always be people who can, now listen to this, there are always people who can influence you with their words because they are persuasive or convincing, even though they're wrong. Even though they are wrong. You ever meet people like that? They're just, you know, they got that personality, man, and they can just say this and that, and they can, you know, we tell them they can sell snow to an Eskimo. And they're like, hey, well, guess what? If they're wrong, they're persuading people the wrong thing. Yeah. Quit listening to people's personalities. Oh, no, you're just right, like, stop. And by the way, we live in a society where people are just like, oh, okay, if you just said it, no, that's not how it works. Don't allow them. By the way, you know the good thing about our country? They're trying to get rid of it. It's you have the right to be wrong. You do. And I have a right not to listen to that which is wrong. Okay? You know, this whole nonsense, misinformation. Who decides what's misinformation? You know what misinformation, when people say that, mean? Anything that I disagree with what you said. Or anything you said that offends me. If someone says something that offends you, that's your problem. Ignore it. Who cares what they said? That has nothing to do, but we're having fun. So, but people are wrong. You know what? Don't listen to it. But they're very persuasive. You know, you go some store where they have salesmen, you didn't even plan on buying anything, and you walk out with half the store. He talked you into it. A guy I work with, and we came to work on a Monday, working in a warehouse in industry, and he had a new truck. Well, that's a nice truck. I didn't know you were looking for a car. He goes, you know, my wife and I were just out shopping on Saturday, and we saw these new cars, and I'm like, oh, let's just go look at it. That's a nice looking car. I just want to take a look. We're not buying. They left with a truck. That guy swooped in. People are persuasive. But it's not if a person is passionate or persuasive. Are they right? A person can only influence us with what they say if we are willing to listen and to heed what they are saying. You know, no one is influenced against their will. The kids on our college campus, they are being influenced. They're mimicking idiotic ideology. And if you ask them to back it up, they can't. They can't. Explain it to me. I'm not going to explain it to you. I'm leaving. I know, because you can't explain it. You're just this. You heard someone say it. It got in your mind. It's in there with like four rocks bumping around. And you can't even explain what you believe. Now, if you can explain it and we disagree, that's great. But the most people just believe, if someone said it, they hang on to it because now they can go that direction and they don't even have to think it through. We don't even know how to critically think in this country. Christians don't know how to critically think. The kind of nonsense that is taught in the average church, you might as well go see a psychologist. Dr. Phil's closer to being right. But it sounds good. Well, Proverbs has the answer. Here it is. We looked at the first verse here. He said, cease, my son, to hear instruction that caused to err from the words of knowledge. Let's dissect this because it's not brain surgery. Ready? Cease means stop, leave. Don't listen. Soon as it starts coming on, like, that's garbage, turn it off. Turn that radio down. By the way, be careful. They're indoctrinating your children. I think Peppa the Pig is now gay. Come on, man. By the way, your little Disney cartoons are boys hugging and kissing each other. Hate to burst your bubble there. You know, I wish they wouldn't put that in there. Why is it on? Well, I didn't know it's in there. Did you turn it off when you noticed it? Come on. You know, oh, let's go meet your parents. This is my dad and this is my other dad. What? It's a little thing called research. Stop. Leave. Turn it off. Blow it up. I don't, what are you going to do? Cease, my son, to hear. We looked at it. Hear means more than just hear. It's someone that's listening so they can obey. Not someone that, you know, you're walking by and just someone says a drive-by thought at you, right? You know? You know, you see, you ever see street preachers? If I'm driving by and I had a satanic street preacher, right? And I'm just walking by, Satan is God. I heard it because I happen to be walking by. I know it's a lie, but this kind of here is I'm tuned in. I'm listening to what you say. I'm giving weight to what you're saying because I want that influence in my life. He says, uh-uh, don't allow that. Instruction. Instruction that cause to error. Error means to deceive and cause and go astray. So they're saying it because it's going to cause you to go the wrong direction from the words of knowledge. Understanding, wisdom. We are to stop, to quit listening to anything that would cause us to act in a way that is deceiving and leads us away from the path of truth and from living a life of truth or wisdom. Now, I'm not combative by nature. It might be hard to believe. Being a pastor's help with that, though. By the way, but like I was in a Bible class, and it was, I forget what it was. It was they were talking about church, and the teacher. And again, I don't ask questions. I just stay out of the way, right? And the teacher recommended a book by Paul Yonggi Chow. You know who that was? Back in the 80s, 70s, this guy pastored a church in Korea. They said that the church and all the satellites had like 500,000. But his doctrine was wrong. By the way, the last 10 years, we also found out his lifestyle was wrong. A lot of stuff came out. But it wasn't Christian, straight, pure Christian doctrine. There's a lot of nonsense in there. But, you know, he said, hey, you know, they're doing these things, and read this book, and you'll learn some things. And I don't do this. I don't know why I did it to this day. Let's raise my hand. He goes, yeah. I'm like, should we be reading that book? Because his doctrine seems to be wrong, and I quoted this verse. And Proverbs says, cease my son to hear words that would cause to err. Now, I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck. That's, you know, that's not. And he just looked at me and got silent. He goes, I don't know, what do you think? I'm like, you're the teacher, not me. And he kind of stumbled through a, through a, you know, some type of thing. And I wasn't trying to be a smart aleck, but now that I think back on it, that's actually kind of right. Yeah. Well, this guy has a big church. He must know what's right. Like, really? Is that the qualification of truth? Years ago, I remember a pastor, I'll say we're done. Pastor and I, a group came out to visit our church from another, we thought was, you know, a straight Baptist church in the Midwest, and we went out with their leaders. And the guy says, wow, what about that church over there, the Crystal Cathedral? Now, that's back when it was Robert Schuller, who, by the way, is a rank heretic. Heretic. No gospel. And this guy goes, man, they must have something going on because they have so many people. And your dad said, okay, your dad took over from there and said, that doesn't make it right. They have a lot of people there. You know, they have the Christmas. Remember they had the little Christmas thing they would do? Anybody remember that? I didn't go. And I know one of their angels one time came down the middle of their little play and he got stuck and he started cussing. I didn't know angels cussed. But it's like, wait a minute. We have to determine, especially on a spiritual level, and we'll talk about that next time, is it right or is it wrong? And if I followed would lead me away from the spiritual truth, I need to say, I'm ceasing. I'm not listening. I'm not allowing you that influence in my life. Well, you know, and I'm not talking about small differences. Well, you know, you can find a good sandwich in a trash can. Why? I can find a better sandwich in my refrigerator. It's not hanging around with the bad garbage. But we need to be very careful who we allow to influence us. And next time we'll look at areas where we need to be careful. Let's stand together if we may. Let's all stand together if we may. And we'll pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for the truth of the Word of God. Father, we do thank you for good people who know the truth and are an encouragement to us in their life and in their words. But Lord, help us not to be condemning too much unless someone's perverting the gospel, but just, Lord, help us to be careful that we keep what we believe straight and we don't allow the type of pressure and the type of instruction that would cause us to deviate from that which we know is right. Be with us now, Lord. I pray that you would help us these last few days before Friend Day. I pray you give us a tremendous, tremendous day. I pray, Lord, that you would show up and that our friends would be here and people would be saved, like some of us were saved by just coming to a church service and hearing the gospel. Bless these dear folks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.